hear that music, that means it's time for the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 147a. Okay. So, as usual, using the Revised Grail Psalms, approved for use in the church and compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. Now, Psalm 147 is one of what they call the Deutero-Hallel Psalms. So we have the Hallel Psalms, 113 to 118, and Psalm 135. And then we have the Deutero-Hallel, or Second Praise Psalms, Psalms 145 to 150. All right, now, you remember way back when we first started talking about the Psalms, how the numbering of the Psalms differs from the Masoretic text and the Septuagint text. So the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. So the Psalms are the same up until Psalm 9. And then in Psalm 9, they split, and then the numbering becomes different. And so the Septuagint Psalm is one psalm behind the Masoretic text. So, for example, Psalm 62, which is what we normally read from, what we use at Mass, the Masoretic text, in the Septuagint text, it's Psalm 61. And what happens at Psalm 147, they come back together again. All right, so 47, 48, 49, 50 are the same in both texts. So today we're looking at 147a, again in the Masoretic text, and it starts. There's no prescript for this Deutero-Hallel Psalm. It starts, Alleluia. How good to sing psalms to our God. How pleasant to chant fitting praise. Right? So right away we see a musical element here to this psalm, which makes sense because it is a Hallel Psalm or a praise psalm. How good to sing psalms to the Lord. Mizmor is the Hebrew word for psalm there. And it's, again, a song that is sung typically to to instrumentation, to a harp, to a lute, to a lyre. And again, remember, some of the prescripts have the instrumentation that's used for particular psalms as well. So this psalm starts off about singing and chanting and praising the Lord in song. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He brings back Israel's exiles. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up all their wounds. He counts out the number of the stars. He calls each one by its name. So now the psalmist here goes from praising the Lord in, talk about let's praise the Lord with song. Then he starts to recount some of the marvelous deeds of the Lord, what the Lord has done, both in history and in the world, in nature. So he builds up Jerusalem, right, to be the witness to the other cultures around them of how they're supposed to honor God. So they're supposed to reflect the power of God and the workings of God. And he brings back Israel's exiles. So he talks about when, during the Babylonian exile, for example, or the slavery in Egypt when they were exiled, and how God brought them into the promised land, how God brought them out of exile back to be his people once again. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. So all of those inner hurts, those inner pains that we have within us, God is the healer. He's the divine physician, right? He's the divine physician. And it's beautiful we're talking about this because we're talking about one of the great healers, miracle workers, saints in history of the church, St. Charbel. And so here the psalmist is reflecting on the awesome healing power of God. And of course, he counts out the number of the stars. He calls each one by its name. So when you look in the sky, the vast number of stars and the light that we're seeing from those stars is hundreds of thousands, sometimes maybe a million years old, the light that we're seeing from those stars today. Just incredible, the power of God. And the psalmist continues. Our Lord is great and almighty. His wisdom can never be measured. Right? So this is something I think that's important for us to understand, especially when it comes to science and the pursuit of science and technology and AI. and all the stuff that's so prevalent in our culture today, that we think because we make all these incredible scientific discoveries, we make extraordinary technological advances, including artificial intelligence technology, that somehow we are the masters of creation. We are the masters of our own lives. And we forget that our knowledge, our human knowledge, is limited. Our human knowledge cannot bring us closer to God. Our advances in human science and technology does not make us God, right? And so that's what I think some people in the culture think, that I have control because I can master these different technological things. And no, there is a God out there that's greater than and almighty than anything we can ever imagine. The Lord lifts up the lowly. He casts down the wicked to the ground, because here's a God of justice. Oh, sing to the Lord giving thanks. Sing psalms to our God with the harp. So again, more instrumentation coming in here, this time with the beauty of the harp. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth, making mountains sprout with grass and plants to serve human needs. He provides the cattle with their food and young ravens that call upon him. See, God sustains all of creation with his bounty, but mostly by his love. Everything that exists, remember, is an overflow, is an extension of God's love. God's love spilled out into the universe, and everything came into being and existence. And the psalmist remembers that here. So we see the heavens, the clouds, the rain, the mountains, the cattle, the birds, everything that we use to sustain ourselves was given to us by God, right? So God is the one sustaining us through his nature, through his creation. And it's a beautiful thing to see how God is working in his creative activity out of sheer love for us, his children.
I used to love going to tie in today's psalm with the grandparents. We would sit on the front porch of my great-grandparents' house, and it was the perfect spot for either, I think it was sunset, based on the direction the house was facing. And so we'd sit out there living in the South, you know, granddaddy would have his little whittle stick and he would be, you know, making some little something. And then granny was always cooking apple pies or whatever. But I remember it was always the time for conversations. And granddaddy always used to say, "Oh, there's God. I see him." And I, as a kid, I'm like, "What? Where's God?" And he, every time. But because of that, it gave me such an appreciation for a sunset that now when I see a sunrise or a sunset, I go, "Oh, there's God."
Yeah, it's true. And we want to make sure that, again, that's a beautiful childlike understanding of God, which yeah. we lose when we become adults, because we become more rational.
Right.
I mean, which is fine, but we don't want to lose that childlike appreciation of God's creative beauty. And we have to remember, because especially out here where I live in the Pacific Northwest, that nature is not God. Right. So that would be pantheism. So pantheism says that that a rock is God, a tree is God. It's like you said, the sunset is God.
Yeah.
But it's actually not God. It's created by God.
Right.
Or panentheism. So God is in the tree. God is in the rock. God is in the trees. And so that's what we see from witchcraft, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of that kind of thinking. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we have to appreciate the awesome magnificence and beauty of God's creative activity. And we should take time to appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that that at least the pandemic has taught me, to really take the time to appreciate the people that God has put into your life. Sometimes the people we take for granted every day, to tell people that you love them mm-hmm. and not to wait, and to appreciate beauty and nature. And those things raise our hearts and our minds to God, which mm-hmm. is an awesome thing. And then to finish this psalm off, his delight is not in horses, nor his pleasure in warrior strength. The Lord delights in those who revere him, those who wait for his merciful love. I love that. So his delight is not in horses or the warrior's strength. So even though horses are very powerful and horses are strong, he doesn't take pleasure in that or in the strength of men. The Lord delights in those who revere him, who honor him, who bless him by making a gift of their life, witnessing to the power of his love to the world.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.